We're well into summer now, and I know for a lot of people, well, summer meant going away to camp. I was not one of these people. I was never a very outdoorsy kid, and I'm still not a very outdoorsy person to this day. That being said, most of my information about summer camps comes from seeing TV shows and movies about it. And so today, I'm going to talk about an episode of a TV show that focuses on camping, and it's an episode that might be one of the greatest episodes, not just of this particular series, but I would think of all TV shows of all time. This is Everything is Fantastic, and today we're looking at Season 4, Episode 1 of The Simpsons, Camp Krusty.
Everything is fantastic!
Yes, indeed. Hello. Welcome to another episode of Everything is Fantastic, the podcast where I talk about things that I love. I'm your host, Chris McGinnis, and like I said, today we're going to be focusing on another episode of The Simpsons, and it is quite possibly one of the greatest Simpsons episodes ever. An episode that the writing staff had such high hopes about that they were even thinking about making it a feature-length movie way back in the early 90s. The season premiere of Season 4, Camp Krusty. And this episode is just so endlessly quotable. There's so many great moments. I'm going to try to cover them all. In fact, I actually did quite a bit of, I guess you could say, extra prep for this episode. When I watched this episode for this podcast on Simpsons World, I actually took some time to actually isolate some of the audio from the episode, and I'll be inserting it at certain points. I know, I'm putting effort into this. I'm shocked too. The couch gag for this episode has Bart writing on the chalkboard, "This punishment is not boring and pointless." And the couch gag, the family run into the living room to find Fred Flintstone, Wilma, and Pebbles already on the couch. Interesting. The episode begins in Mrs. Krabappel's classroom at Springfield Elementary. It is the last day of school, and Mrs. Krabappel is handing out the final report cards for the year. Bart is distraught to see that he has a grade of F- all across the board. Bart tells Mrs. Krabappel that he doesn't have at least a C average, he won't be allowed to go to Camp Krusty for the summer. Mrs. Krabappel says it wouldn't be fair to the other children, but what the heck, and she pulls out a red pen and changes Bart's grades to C's. Bart says he's much obliged and smacks Mrs. Krabappel on the butt. Mrs. Krabappel chuckles and tells Bart that she's going to miss him. Principal Skinner comes on the intercom system and asks if everyone has brought their implements of destruction. We then see kids pulling sledgehammers, crowbars, and axes out of their desks. Nelson has brought a flamethrower, and Bart, for some reason, pulls out an AK-47. Skinner gives the command to trash this dump, and Alice Cooper's school's out plays as we see the children laying waste to the school. Skinner steps forward with a box and tells the students to torch the permanent records. We see Bart operating a wrecking ball, singing to himself as he destroys the front of the school. We then cut to Bart in bed, singing in his sleep. Homer comes in, waking him. Bart says that he'd been dreaming that it was the last day of school. Homer tells him that it is the last day of school, and Bart looks over at his bedside counter and sees that, yep, it's the date he's been waiting for. Bart wonders aloud if this isn't some kind of wonderful dream too, and Homer responds by smacking him on the head with a newspaper. Bart grumbles that a pinch is the more traditional method of checking. Cut to the kitchen where the family's eating breakfast. Marge asks Homer if he remembers his promise to the children. Sure do. When you're 18, you're out the door. Lisa reminds her dad that if she and Bart got C averages, they could go to Camp Krusty, and adds, with no false modesty, that she is one happy camper. Bart says that the school has implemented a new grading scale. It goes D, B, A, C. Homer is having none of it, saying that he and Bart made a deal and he wouldn't be any sort of father if he let Bart go to Camp Krusty with a D average. Homer goes on to tell Bart that if you really want something in this life, you have to work for it, then quickly tells the family to be quiet because they're announcing the lottery numbers on the radio. No big surprise here, Homer doesn't win anything, only matching one number out of five. Cut to Springfield Elementary. Principal Skinner comes on the PA system and tells the students to clean out their lockers using the trash cans that have been provided for them. So, of course, we see the kids just throwing their garbage on the floor on either side of them, completely ignoring the garbage cans. Bart opens his locker and we hear the sounds of a jungle as he peers inside. He pulls out a pair of gym shorts which have stiffened from being neglected in the locker all year. He bangs them against the nearby locker, doing no damage to them at all. So he folds the shorts into a paper airplane and tosses it away. Cut to Miss Hoover's classroom where she's passing out final report cards. Miss Hoover says that she has nothing else to say to the children and suggests that they just sit quietly and run out the clock. Lisa looks at her report card and sees straight A's, but then looks back at the grade for conduct and sees a B+. Lisa begins to have a panic attack, having never received a B before. She asks Miss Hoover if perhaps she made a mistake. Miss Hoover says that everyone needs some sort of blotch in their permanent records, and Lisa asks her to reconsider, grabbing her hand. Miss Hoover tells Lisa that she's hurting her, and the scene ends. We cut to Mrs. Krabappel making the final marks on Bart's report card. Bart asks her to take note that his textbooks are being returned in excellent condition, some of them even still in the original wrapping. He tries to butter up some more with flattery, saying, "I've never seen an angel fly so low." All this falls on deaf ears as he receives a report card with straight D-. Bart says that if he doesn't have a C average, he can't go to Camp Krusty. Mrs. Krabappel tells him to have a delightful summer, and he is distraught. We get a shot of the clock, and various people around the school count down the last 5 seconds of the school year. Willie can be seen spiking the punch in the teacher's lounge. Otto pops a wheelie in his bus. Wendell's in the nurse's office and gets scolded for counting while he has a thermometer in his mouth. And Milhouse is getting one last swirly before the year is out. The final school bell rings and the children flood out of the school, overjoyed that summer vacation is finally here. Church bells peal in the distance for some reason. A teacher runs out the front door and says they didn't learn how World War II ended. Everyone pauses and turns. The teacher shouts, "We won!" The kids cheer and chant, "USA! USA!" as they leave. Cut to Skinner in his office, watching a group of kids out the window attempting to tip over a VW Beetle in the parking lot. Skinner says he hasn't seen such unbridled hurly-burly since the fall of Saigon. Willie compliments Skinner on another job well done this school year. Skinner thanks him and then tells Willie to get back to work on cleaning the toilets because he wants them to gleam when he gets back. Skinner leaves and Willie calls him a silk-wearing buttercup under his breath. I miss that trait of Willie's, his utter disdain for Skinner openly bad-mouthing and insulting him as he walked away. Cut to the school bus driving the kids home. Otto's excited and he's looking forward to 3 months of SpaghettiOs and daytime TV. We see Bart changing the grades in his report card to read A+ all the way. Lisa laughs at his handiwork and asks why he couldn't have forged plausible grades. Bart groans sadly. We see a commercial for Camp Krusty. A bear is pushing a camper on a swing as it begins. We then see Krusty doing some trick bareback riding. Krusty tells us that the camp is built on an actual Indian burial ground and there will be great activities like archery and wallet making. Also, there's a program of exercise and ridicule to really get results from the fat kids attending that summer. To illustrate the point, a fat kid with blue hair and glasses walks on the screen, and then through the magic of TV, he becomes a skinny kid with blue hair and glasses. But the best part about Camp Krusty? You get to spend the whole summer with Krusty himself! Bart nervously looks at his report card and then goes to talk to Homer. Cut to Homer outside mowing the lawn. He runs over a couple of objects, but doesn't really notice until the mower gets a roller skate jammed in it. Bart brings the report card to Homer, and Homer looks at it. Homer very easily recognizes the deception and tells Bart that a D can be turned into a B so easily that Bart got greedy with changing his grades. Bart asks if this means he can't go to Camp Krusty. Homer says, "We made this deal because I thought it would help you get good grades, which it didn't. But why should you pay for my mistake?" Bart asks if this means he can go, and Homer says, "Sure, I didn't want you hanging around the house all summer anyway." Bart tells Homer he's the best father a boy could have, and Homer thanks him, and then asks his son if he could reach under the mower and dislodge the skates, since he has small hands. Bart moves towards the mower, which then sputters back to life, throwing out shredded pieces of the roller skate. Homer then says, "Never mind," and we get an ad break. Back from break, and we see Marge packing Bart's suitcase for camp. She asks Bart where his bathing suit is, and Bart responds that he's going to be swimming naked. That's exactly how he pronounces it, too. Naked. N-E-K-K-I-D. Bart says there'll probably be some uptight counselors who won't agree with his philosophy, but Bart says that he'll win over because he believes the human body is a beautiful thing. To underscore the point, Homer walks in wearing just his underwear and asks Marge if his back is getting hairier. Cut to Lisa at Dr. Hibbert's office asking for a multitude of booster shots before leaving for camp. Dr. Hibbert calls this an advanced case of hypochondria and there's only one cure, a lollipop. Lisa pushes Hibbert's hand away and tells him not to patronize her. Cut to the dinner table where Marge says it's their last family dinner for 6 weeks and she promised herself she wouldn't cry. Homer and the kids pay no attention as they loudly grunt and eat their food. It's too much for Marge and she breaks down sobbing, saying she's going to miss this. We cut to the kids boarding the bus for camp the next day. Mr. Prince tells Martin that he's looking forward to seeing his son when he gets back from Image Enhancement Camp. Martin says, spare me your euphemisms. It's fat camp for Daddy's chubby little secret, and his father asks him not to make a scene. Marge is showering Bart and Lisa with kisses and advises them to look out for poison ivy. Leaves with 3? Let it be. Homer replies, leaves with 4? Eat some more. As the bus begins to pull away, Bart tells him not to look in his closet and to just stay away from his room altogether. Lisa says not to replace the pets if they die. She'll know. The bus drives off and the parents wave to their departing children. Once the bus is outside, the parents all let out a cheer. Confetti flies and the princes break out a bottle of champagne. One woman can be heard saying, don't come back. The bus arrives at Camp and Krusty. The bridge at the entrance crumbles as the bus drives over it. Ooh, foreshadowing. Cut to Krusty greeting the campers on a TV screen. Krusty says he'll see them in a few weeks, but in the meantime, he's turning everything over to his bestest buddy, Mr. Black. And the name Mr. Black is said in a voice distinctly different from Krusty's. It's as if I introduced the podcast like this. Hello, welcome to Everything is Fantastic. I'm your host,
Mr. Black.
The videotape ends, and Mr. Black introduces himself as the head counselor. He's a man wearing a business suit and says he was the head of Hero Krustyland for 15 years, until it blew up. Mr. Black says he will answer any and all questions they may have. He points to Milhouse and then says one more question after that. Milhouse asks if they can call him Uncle Blackie, to which Mr. Black quickly replies, no. Bart asks when they'll get to see Krusty, and Mr. Black replies that Krusty will be along eventually and introduces the other counselors, Jimbo, Dolph, and Kearney, the resident bullies of Springfield Elementary. Wendell looks back at them and coughs. Jimbo labels him a troublemaker, and Kearney scoops him up and carries Wendell away. Cut to the Simpsons house where Marge is taking a shower. Homer quietly walks into the bathroom. Marge says that Homer can have the shower to himself because she's finished. Homer says, oh no, you're not, and joins Marge in the shower. Cut back to Camp Krusty. Kearney leads a group of kids to their cabin and says if they don't like it, TS. I'll give you a couple seconds to work out what that may stand for. Kearney opens the door and a chicken immediately flies out at the group. A snake slithers by Lisa and that's the part where I would have said, nope, I'm done, bye. Lisa says things are a little more rustic than she expected, but Bart's not worried because everything there has the Krusty brand seal of approval, which is only found on products which meet the high standards of Krusty the Clown. We cut to a product testing room. Krusty looks at an alarm clock with his likeness and touches it, burning himself. A representative of the product testing division comes in and says that he should have warned Krusty that the clock gets very hot if it's left plugged in. Krusty says that's fine and points to a shelf filled with other Krusty merchandise that is sparking or malfunctioning in some way and gives them his approval as well. Krusty says he's off to Wimbledon as the faulty merchandise runs down and smokes as he leaves. Cut to a campfire where the campers are holding pine cones over the fire. Bart asks if they're going to get to toast roast marshmallows, and Dolph responds, shut up and eat your pine cone. Fade to the next morning, where a small group of campers are on the dock in bathing suits. A rickety-looking canoe is tied to a deck where it's being battered by the rapids. Lisa asks if this is safe, and Kearney replies, it's not getting any safer. Lisa gets ready to get into the canoe just as the water washes it away. We cut to Chief Starving Bear's weight loss camp where a drill instructor berates a number of campers hanging from a pull-up bar. He says he wants to see Crisco coming out of their pores, and they're not leaving until Martin, whom he refers to as a Christmas ham, gives him one pull-up. We cut to the outdoor auditorium where the campers sing that old chestnut, Day by Day. I mean, the Camp Krusty anthem. I cannot do it justice trying to recap it. So, here it is, in its entirety.
Hail to me, Camp Krusty, by the shores of Big Snake Lake. We all now never break.
Louder, faster.
From your gleamingness on to your hallowed baseball field. Do your sickness span infirmary, where all our wounds are healed. Hail to the Emprosy below Mount Everest. We will all.
A little context for the visuals that go along with the song, since this is an audio podcast. When they sing about the mess hall, we see a frog jump out of a bowl that Lisa is eating from. Bart falls into a giant hole as he runs along the baseball field. And there's a nurse with a cigarette, which she lights after striking a match on a cast of boys wearing in the infirmary. And as a capper to everything, the risers that the campers are standing on break when the song reaches its end. We cut to the mess hall, where Lisa's being served a gray blob on a plate. Lisa's surprised that they're being served gruel, but she's correctly being told that it's Krusty brand imitation gruel. 9 out of 10 orphans can't tell the difference. We cut to a cabin, where Mr. Black and the three bullies are sitting around a table, smoking cigars and having quite a feast, which includes a very nice-looking ham. Jimbo asks for another brandy, and Mr. Black proposes a toast. Gentlemen, to evil. We cut to the Simpsons' house later that night, and Homer says that since the kids have left, he's lost 5 pounds and has grown some new hair. The thought of being close to a comb-over apparently makes him feel quite frisky, and he and Marge dive under the covers. Cut to Bart and Lisa shivering in their cabin and blowing steam out of their mouths. Jim and Dolph tell them it's lights out and that they're going to score some tail on the other side of the lake. They slam the door to the cabin, and we hear them locking it from the outside. Lisa tells Bart she feels like she's going to die, and Bart says, "We're all going to die, Lisa." Lisa says that she meant soon, and Bart replies, "So did I." We cut to Wimbledon, where Krusty is enjoying a bowl of strawberries and cream and heckles one of the tennis players. The PA announcer demands he keeps his voice down and Krusty apologizes to everyone surrounding him, including the Queen, who seems less than impressed at his antics. Cut to Marge writing a letter to Bart and Lisa. She tells them things are well at home, and we see a hand holding the letter and then picking up and taking a bite out of a jelly bean cookie Marge baked and sent along as well. It's then revealed that Carney had been looking at the letter the entire time. He crumples up and throws it at Lisa, saying, "Hey, Simpson! Tell your mom her cookie sucked." Lisa begins to write a letter and has the best opening line ever. "Dear Mom and Dad, I no longer fear hell because I've been to Camp Krusty." She compares their hikes to death marches and their arts and crafts hall to a Dickensian workhouse. We see the kids making wallets and Jimbo tells them to work faster because the Gucci wallets they're making have to be on the streets of Hong Kong by Friday. Lisa says that Bart is still trying to stay positive thanks to his unwavering belief that Krusty will be coming, but she's far more pessimistic. Lisa sneaks out of the cabin at night and gives the letter to a man on horseback, along with a bottle of some sort of alcohol as payment for delivering the letter, since all the lines of communication have been cut. I know this is a reference to some movie, but I have no clue which one. She closes by saying, "Save us! Save us now!" Homer merely chuckles at the letter, and Marge says that while Lisa may complain now, when they go to pick up, she won't want to leave. Cut to the cabin in the middle of a storm. A gust of wind has blown the roof off of it. All the kids are holding to various pieces of furniture in the cabin to keep from blowing away. Bart tells Lisa he's been doing some thinking, and next summer he's going to get a job. And we get our second act break. Back from break, and we see Homer, Marge, and Maggie having a picnic at sunset. Homer's massaging Marge's shoulders. Marge says it's getting late and they might miss the fireworks. Homer tells Marge in a suggestive tone they've got all the fireworks they need right here. Then Homer pulls a sheet away from the top of the basket, showing that it's full of fireworks. Good misdirection there, writers. A+ for you. Cut back to Camp Krusty, and we see all the kids sitting by the outdoor auditorium looking miserable. Mr. Black takes the stage, saying that he prompts everyone a surprise in lieu of dinner. Krusty the Clown is here! Bart is thrilled, saying that he knew Krusty will come. He's sure that Krusty will bring food, water, and smite their enemies. And here he is! Barney Gumble in a not-at-all-convincing Krusty costume. He's not even wearing any semblance of makeup. Mr. Black says Krusty has laryngitis and a bad back, so he won't be saying anything or doing anything. The kids sense something is wrong, and Bart speaks up saying that it's not the real Krusty. Mr. Black insists that it is the real Krusty. "What, do you think I just went and put a clown suit on some wino?" he asks, laughing nervously. Barney replies, "Yeah, Bart, I'm the real Crunchy the clown, and belches. Just knowing Bart's name alone would have been enough of a tip-off. since in the early seasons it was a bit of a running gag that Bart would end up helping Krusty in one way or another, but Krusty would never remember who he was. Anyway, much like Popeye before him, Bart has had all he can stand and he can't stand no more. He begins to chant, "We want Krusty." The other campers and even Barney join him as well. Mr. Black yells at Jimbo, "I thought you said you broke their spirits." Jimbo said they did. Mr. Black replies by slapping him and yelling, "You broke nothing!" Bart and the other campers rush the stage as Mr. Black and the bullies flee, apparently escaping via hydrofoil. The kids begin to ransack the camp, knocking down the totem pole that has Krusty's face on it that stood at the entrance. Bart breaks the campers out of fan camp, and they gorge themselves on the Krusty brand imitation gruel that they find in the kitchen. Well, guess it's better than nothing. Lisa begins distributing mail that had been withheld from the campers, packages containing such vital items as brownies, a change of underwear, and insulin. The Camp Krusty flag is lowered, and a new flag rises up the flagpole. It basically looks like the traditional Jolly Roger skull and crossbones flag, except the skull is in the shape of Bart's head. The flag reads, "Camp Bart." Lisa scolds Bart, saying that she thought he said he was going to name it Camp Freedom. Bart says this name has more zing. Cut to England, where the Queen is preparing to knight Krusty. An attendant rushes into the phone, saying there's a very urgent call for Mr. Clown. Krusty grabs the phone, saying it better be important, and then yells, "Oi, Gavalt!" after pulling the phone to his ear. Cut to the Simpsons' house, where Homer and Marge are watching a yoga program. The peacefulness is suddenly interrupted by a special bulletin, "Crisis at Camp Krusty." And yes, the title card did spell crisis with a K. Kent Brockman appears on screen and begins speaking. "I've been to Vietnam, Afghanistan, and Iraq, and I can say without hyperbole this is a million times worse than all of them put together." A group of kids are burning an effigy of Krusty, chanting, "Burn, Krusty, burn," as they circle it. Kent reports that there are three counselors missing and they are presumed scared. Kent is told he's being granted an exclusive interview with the ringleader. Homer's internal monologue begins to chant, "Don't be the boy, don't be the boy." The camera reveals Bart sitting under a light with war paint on his forehead and a quiver of arrows slung across his shoulder. Homer yells out, "No!" At which point his newly grown hair falls out and he instantly gains back all the weight he lost. On screen, Bart says he wants the world to know that this was a really crappy camp. Bart then asks Keith if you can say crappy on TV, and Kent says you can on this network. Cut to Krusty arriving via helicopter. He is besieged by reporters when he lands, and he asks them where they were when he was singing at Farm Aid. He punches out a cameraman and walks off. We cut to the cabin, where Krusty is trying to convince the kids that he's the genuine article. Lisa asks who played his daughter in the short-lived sitcom President Clown. Krusty says he doesn't know her name, but he thinks she held up a liquor store last year. Bart is suspicious and commands the kids to search Krusty to see if he's wearing a wire. They rip Krusty's shirt open, and then they're able to see that he's telling the truth as they see his pacemaker scar, cattle skull-shaped birthmark, and famous superfluous nipple. Krusty takes this all in stride, saying that at least they're not as bad as customs. Bart asks Krusty how he could do this. Bart would never lend his name to an inferior product. Make your own joke here, folks. Krusty breaks down crying, saying that they drove a dump truck full of money up to his house. He's not made of stone. Bart gives Krusty the nightmarish details about their time at camp. I'll let Bart take it from here.
"Krusty, this camp was a nightmare. They fed us gruel. They forced us to make wallets for export. And one of the campers was eaten by a bear.
Oh, my God!
Well, actually, the bear just ate his hat."
"Was it a nice hat?"
"Oh, yeah."
"Oh, my God!"
Krusty says he's going to make it up to the kids and show them the time of their life. We cut to a bus full of the kids. Krusty is driving. He says, "Get ready for 2 weeks at the happiest place on Earth. Tijuana!" The kids cheer as we see them drive under an archway that reads, "Welcome to Tijuana, Mexico." The episode ends with a montage of photos of Krusty and the kids in Tijuana as the song "South of the Border" plays underneath. Such wonderful activities occur, like the kids watching a cockfight, seeing Krusty laying drunk on the street with a bottle of tequila clutched in his hand, Bart getting the words "Ay Caramba" tattooed on his chest, a picture of the bus driving out of Tijuana with the kids hanging out the window smiling and waving, and then the final picture, Krusty running frantically after the bus. And then, roll credits. Camp Krusty is such a great episode of The Simpsons. It is very funny, terrifically written, endlessly quotable. Honestly, I have to admit, I would have been curious to see how this would have looked if it was indeed turned into a feature-length film back in the early 90s, as the original plan was. It makes me wonder what other camp-based hijinks and shenanigans would have occurred. But as it stands, it is a solid half hour of television. It is definitely now and will always be one of my favorite episodes of The Simpsons ever. Okay, that'll do it for this episode of Everything's Fantastic. Thank you very much for listening. Most appreciated. Questions, comments, feedback, and so forth can be sent to chrismcg1983@gmail.com. That's chrismcg1983@gmail.com. Also, please check out my Patreon page, and if you feel so inclined, become a patron for my podcast. You can find that at patreon.com/dramaguycjm. That's patreon.com/dramaguycjm. By becoming a patron and via Patreon, you're able to donate an amount of money that you choose per podcast episode that goes up. And for as little as $1 per episode, you can become a patron. And by becoming a patron, I thank you personally by name at the end of every podcast episode I do. So we've reached that time. Thank you to my current patrons, Rachel Delecta and Eddie Landis. And there's also cumulative rewards as a patron for as long as you're a patron of the podcast. Once your contribution total reaches $5 or multiple thereof, that earns you a credit to suggest something for me to watch for one of my other podcasts, This Is Gonna Suck. Or if you just would prefer the whole instant gratification in the thing, you can always make a donation via $5 through PayPal to chrismcg1983@gmail.com. And suggest a movie, TV show, YouTube video. Basically, if you think that it sucks or you think that I think it's gonna suck, make the donation, make the suggestion, and I will watch it for your entertainment. Speaking of This Is Gonna Suck, that's the next episode that I'm planning on uploading after this one. I'm saying it should probably be up in the next day or two. And I know on one of the last podcast episodes I teased the possibility of it being a return to another episode of the WWE's reality series Total Divas. That is going to come back at some point, but for my next episode of This Is Gonna Suck, well, I'm gonna go with what I consider the polar opposite of this episode. This was an episode of one of the greatest episodes of TV I've ever seen. The next episode, This Is Gonna Suck, will cover one of the worst episodes of a TV show I've ever seen. And I realize that there's a whole lot of options that span the possibilities of what this could be, but not to give too much away in advance, but I'll say this much. It was an episode when I first heard about it. I was really looking forward to the premise to it. And then when I finally saw the episode, I was so disappointed in what happened. It's just, I will say this much as a means of a hint. I wasn't experiencing much happiness about the show in this episode after I saw it. In case you didn't catch the emphasis, it is a synonym for happiness, the show title. Okay, I'm done being cryptic. It's the Rocky Horror Glee Show. The quote-unquote Rocky Horror tribute episode of Glee. It pains me to have to revisit this, but I couldn't help but find it somewhat appropriate, since I was recently cast in a production of the Rocky Horror Show for Gettysburg Community Theater, and I thought to myself, you know, how appropriate is it to prepare for working on a great show to watch a terrible interpretation of this musical. So keep an eye out for that coming very soon. This Is Gonna Suck looks at the Rocky Horror Glee Show. But until then, this is Chris McGinnis saying thanks again for listening, and enjoy the rest of your summer.